Hey everybody, this is Nick Wolf back with what I'm calling the FBC Brookhaven Podcast. Round of applause, please. Round of applause. And none was given. I have four other guests today, and not one of them clapped for my podcast name. Okay, looking for extra credit over there. Hey, this is episode 7. So we're pretty excited about this new possibility, you know, to get some extra content into the ears of FBC Brookhavenites. And podcasting gives you it really does kind of give you an opportunity to listen and do other things, you know, while you're driving or working or cutting the grass or whatever. You can kind of catch up on what's going on at your church. So the first 5 podcast episodes that we did, and really was one of the reasons I started it, we wanted to offer the church some supplemental content for the missions speakers that spoke Sunday, August the 3rd. As you all know, on that Sunday, we had an international missions celebration. And in a missions testimony, you know, at a church, you get like 5 minutes in a worship service. And you can't, you know, there's just no way to really get all of the information maybe that you want to hear. And so the podcast gives you a little more detail. So we heard some really cool stories. I would encourage the listener to go back to episodes 1 through 5 and listen to those stories. Of course, episode 6 was with Taylor Newman. Just talking about a discipleship opportunity we have starting Wednesday, August the 6th for men. He'll be teaching a class at 5:30 in room 201 called Better Man. And so I hope you'll go listen to that episode. So episode 7 today, I am joined by the summer interns of the FBC Brook Student Ministry. So this is going to be a lot of fun. They all appear a little nervous, except Robert Adcock. All right, but let me make some introductions real quick. Over here on mic one, we have Miss Megan Felkley. Say, hey, Megan.
Hello.
All right, thank you for coming today. Mic two, my boys, my two sons, call you Oxford.
Yes, they do.
Is that a term of endearment?
Sure.
Yeah.
The Brookhaven people love it.
So. Yeah. So, but you do have a name.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us who you are there, Mike, too.
I'm Matthew Addy.
Man, I'm so glad that you carved out some time for us today.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and of course, I'm on mic 3. Over here on mic 4, one of the most noble names a man can have. Robert. Robert Adcock. I want to call you Mr. Adcock. Would that be appropriate?
If you would like to go ahead and call me Mr. Adcock, man.
He won't say no.
It's all yours.
I was just saying Robert is such a noble name.
I mean, I'm growing up.
I feel like you're a king.
I'm growing up, but you don't have to take that step yet.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait. Yeah, I do. I see a man over there. I see a man. Hey, thanks for coming. And then over here on mic 5, Miss Anna Grace Buitt. Say, hey, Anna Grace.
Hey.
Well, again, thank y'all all for coming today, and I thought it would be beneficial. This is a little selfish, you know, to me, to hear how y'all summer went, and to get to know y'all just a little bit better. But that would also help our church, you know, once we kind of introduce the interns at the beginning of the summer. Y'all are so busy working and with camps, we don't really see y'all again, you know. Unless your parents show up to worship, and then all of you get a shout out in the church, you know. But other than that, y'all are your nose is to the grindstone. So I thought this would be kind of a neat opportunity for y'all to share and for us to hear from it. So with that, I'm gonna launch off in a just a couple, you know, conversation starters. So when did y'all start y'all's work? Do y'all remember your official start date? Does anybody have that recorded?
It's like May 28th.
So kind of like the end, middle to the end of May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much when graduation happens, we really need the help. Brother Chris really needs the help of interns. Of course, y'all are wrapping up. Y'all are all college kids, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. Megan, what are you up to when you're finishing this internship? I know you're headed off, aren't you?
I am. I'm moving to Tupelo to start an OTA program at Itawamba.
Oh, man. How's mom and dad doing?
They're doing okay.
Really? Mm-hmm. They're okay with this news?
They're excited for me to finally kind of be out on my own, and I'm excited to kind of live on my own.
Branch out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, Tupelo's a cool place. Yeah, I really like it already. I think you'll enjoy it. I loved North Mississippi climate, too. Mm-hmm. Matthew, that's where you're from, huh? Out there, Oxford area. Yeah. So you are a student at?
Mississippi College.
Yeah, and what year?
Junior.
Going into your junior.
Going into junior.
Yeah. And Matthew is known to our student population really through Super Summer. I mean, you were Super Summer.
I met David Solnes a long time ago at Super Summer, and it just kind of went from there.
Yeah. But there's another factoid related to Matthew that he shared with me today, that he was an enemy of the state.
Yeah, because he that.
No, we got to bring it up. We got to bring it up now. Because
Robert might get a little mad.
So, your nickname is Oxford.
Yeah.
But you went to high school at
Lafayette
High School. Yeah. Mm. And when I was at Ole Miss, I worked at a church out in the county, and I pronounced Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they corrected me quick. They're like, "You are wrong."
That's Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah, Lafayette. I said, "All right, well, that's what it'll be." But you play tennis for Lafayette, which is one of our nemesis teams when we would get to the state level.
Me, Robert, Jeremiah, David Solnes were all seniors 2023 when we played each other in state. And that's all I'll say.
But you have repented.
I have.
He's repented of any.
It still burns a little bit.
It still burns a taste.
Brookhaven loves God a lot more. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Amen. I like it. Hey, welcome to Brookhaven.
Yeah.
So a junior at MC. All right, over here, Robert. Tell us what you're up to next. You just completed some tennis, right there at the Colin.
The Wolfpack.
Yeah. How'd that go for you?
That went well. Well, I've met a lot of international students who are from a lot of different cultures, and the way that they do things is completely different to how we live and go out through our days. But I'm heading into junior year at Mississippi State, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it seems like half of Brookhaven's going to Mississippi State. It's like I missed the bus. I feel like I should be going up there.
I mean, your son is going.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's going up there. I think that's one of the reasons Bram is headed up. It's just so many of you guys are going up there. But yeah, cool. All right, Anna Grace Buitt, tell us what you're up to next.
I am also at Mississippi College. I'm going into my junior year.
Yeah.
So me and Matthew see each other all the time.
Yeah, I guess I should ask Matthew, what are you studying?
I'm a communications major, but I want to go into ministry.
Yeah, sweet. Robert, what are you going to pursue?
I'm accounting.
Accounting, number cruncher.
You know it.
Yeah, I like it. Makes sense.
Finance, bro.
Yeah. I would hire an accountant named Robert.
Would you?
Yeah, it's a trustworthy
name. Maybe in a couple
name.
Years when I get my CPA.
Yeah. Anna Grace?
I'm studying kinesiology to do occupational therapy.
Yeah, good. So y'all kind of have a sense now, the listener has a sense of who our interns are. These are all college-aged young people who, given their summer, really to First Baptist Brookhaven Student Ministry. And so y'all started your work at the end of May. Now, raise your hand if you were involved in VBS. Yeah, so we put the interns to work. Vacation Bible School is always the first week in June. And I don't know at what level y'all work. I just know y'all are always around. How was VBS for y'all this year?
It was pretty good. I'd say. A little chaotic at times.
I feel like the guy interns are in the rec area. Is that
no, we this year we did all of us did 5th and 6th grade.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was all, a big group.
We all
group.
Had packs of 5th and 6th graders following us around.
Yeah, well, is that not the most brilliant move by a student pastor? Because that's really the up and coming into the student ministry. So for them to have a connection point there for the interns really maybe soften that landing. Yeah, so y'all got to meet some kids that are coming in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how'd that go?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty entertaining.
Were they? Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the 6th graders are kind of the group that, like, they don't really want to be there. You know, they're just like, I'm too old for this.
They're like right at the end.
Yeah, they're right at the end. And you know, I wouldn't be here if my mom didn't make me come here. But my mom wanted me out of the house, you know.
It's all good until you get to music. And then they're way too cool for music.
Way too cool for music.
Yeah.
They're cool in the gym at rec. Yeah. But not the music. That's wild.
They grew out of Jungle on Fire at the rec, so they don't really like Jungle on Fire anymore.
What is that? Explain Jungle on Fire.
So the people over the game, they tell you to pick an animal. And so say you got giraffes, elephants, lion, and a zebra. And so when you say Jungle on Fire, they all have to go. If you pick just one, then just that person or the people that pick the animal have to go.
So it's kind of a version of Simon Says.
Kind of.
Yeah. And Red Rover put together. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm visioning it.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did like that game.
Growing up, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep that in mind for future interns. Yeah. All right. So VBS happened, and then y'all are really getting prepped for camp, summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that looks like, Megan. What you've gone to summer camp with our student ministry. Mm-hmm. Being on this side of it where you're having to prep for it. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the prep for it. What did it look like?
It was definitely different. Felt like all we talked about was summer camp for like 2 weeks straight before we went.
Yeah.
But once we got there, we saw how rewarding it was and how good it was to be kind of planned out for the week to come. But I definitely liked being on this side. I liked having a job and like something I had something that I needed to do.
Yeah.
So it was like I always had something to do throughout the day, and we were always prepping to get with rec games and all that.
Yeah, a game just doesn't happen at student camp.
No, it does not, and I didn't realize that until this summer.
Yeah, which is what we want the student to feel.
Yeah.
They think it just happens. Mm-hmm. But there's actually work involved in doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is student camp broken down like into teams?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so they'll do like a color, and mm-hmm. then there's a little bit of rivalry that happens,
sure.
and then at the end, nobody wins anything, right? You just win the pride of having won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do rank the teams from first to last, but there's no actual reward for getting first.
Yeah, you just win.
Yeah,
which could be rewarding. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So the day-to-day work of the summer intern, y'all would work basically with Brother Chris's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he would start y'all's day. Tell us how you started your day, Anna Grace, when you first got going.
Every morning, the first thing that we do when we get here is we just go into a quiet time, just spending some time in the Word, and then we come back together as a group and discuss what the Lord's teaching us and just pray over whatever is happening in the ministry of FBC Brook students during that time. So it's a really awesome time to be in the Word and to grow together.
Now, was that would Chris assign that to y'all? Did y'all have a book that y'all went through, or was it just kind of self-guided?
Just kind of self-guided.
Yeah.
We started with 1 John because that's what we went through in our summer Bible study.
Okay.
But after that, it was just kind of whatever
we wanted to
study. Or
once you got into the rhythm and the flow of that daily morning routine, it became natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, cool. But then y'all would gather back and maybe express what the Lord was teaching you
mm-hmm.
in that time. Yeah.
And it was cool when we were all doing 1 John together. Like, we were still highlighting different things. We were all learning similar things. And then whenever we split into different books, it's like, you know, somebody's in the Old Testament and they're getting different things than somebody who's studying something in the New Testament. And so it was cool to just hear different things that God is doing through different points in His Word to teach us.
Yeah, that's awesome. That y'all have that in your program, like that's programmed into to the internship. So for y'all listening at home, you know, we might just think we're getting cheap labor. Because I don't know what y'all are how you're compensated. I would think, you know,
Chris buys us lunch every once in a
that's
while.
Right. I would think that you have other options in the summer to make more money. But you know, the summer intern is also a way for Brother Chris to invest into the next generation of leaders. And you know, Matthew expressed, you know, he's got maybe a calling into ministry. So these lessons you've learned this summer and that discipleship will propel you. And then all of us, you know, that you know, we all want to be good church members wherever we land in life. And so to be spiritually formed, to be invested in at a very formative age is really important. So, yeah, cool. So, all right. So then after y'all would have your, you know, daily devotion and prayer and all of that. Robert, what was next? It was kind of thinking about the task of the day or morning or whatever, huh?
Well, since we were on the topic of camp and all, right after our quiet time and we'd talk about, you know, what we went through and have a little discussion about that, we would immediately go into planning and try to put things together, like who's going and where, like which group, and just start putting the games and setting up a little schedule for the camp.
And I would imagine in those discussions that y'all are starting to talk about specific kids in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who are friends, who are not friends, yeah. Who do we need to, you know, get to meet the other person? So y'all are starting to kind of rehearse names and faces and trying to make some connections. Is mm-hmm. that... Yeah, and in that, you're praying for those kids. You know, you're starting to think about how are we going to minister to these students. Now, once y'all got to camp, so we've got probably y'all had about 2 weeks of prep for camp. Once you got to camp, talk about, Matthew, tell us where y'all went, first of all.
What was it, Tanglewood, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's been a while.
Yeah.
We went to Tanglewood. It's probably like an hour from here, hour and a half from here. Mm-hmm. Really nice facility, and it was small, so it kind of felt like everybody was together the whole time, which was really fun. And there was a lake. The kids loved the lake. Yeah, we went to Tanglewood.
Tanglewood, Brother Chris started hearing about it 3 or 4 years ago. He went and toured it, and then we did an event there with student ministry, and he moved camp there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically we've gone to Shepherd of the Ozarks, Soto, or we've gone to a couple places in Tennessee. We'll go to beach camp on occasion, but this was just a couple hours away, and it's just as nice as anything that you could find out of state. Yeah. Now, tell us about the accommodations at Tanglewood, Megan. What did that look like? Was it dormitory style living?
Not really. It was really surprising because I had all the was it seventh grade girls in my room, so it was. I mean, I was like the adult.
Yeah, in the she did quote fingers. Yeah, I know you can't see that. She was the adult.
Yeah, so I was in there, and it was kind of like bunk beds. So it was probably like 6 bunk beds in one room, yeah. And kind of like in a corner. And then we had our own bathroom, so that was nice. It wasn't full on like communal bathroom.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. You didn't have to leave the facility or your area to use restrooms.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
And cool. On the guy's side, there were 2 of those rooms and then a huge bunk room that had probably like, 20, 30 beds, little beds for the guys. So that was a wild room. Me and Robert had the seventh graders, though. We weren't in the big room.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's the one they assigned the interns.
Yeah.
So what was the, you know, how did the kids respond to Tanglewood? Was everybody... You know, happy to be there. Were the moods good? Nobody got in a fist fight that I heard of or anything like that. Huh, Matthew? You just kind of laughed.
No, there were no fist fights.
Good.
I didn't hear any complaints. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's the biggest or the nicest, but like it was really nice and they liked it.
Yeah, good. So a camp day for them. Anna Grace, what would a camp day look like?
Waking up, getting breakfast, and then we would go into their quiet times, so they would do some Bible time, and then we would go into a time of worship, So morning worship, we would do a few songs, and then the camp pastor would speak. And then we'd go into small group time, lunch, rec and games, which consisted of our afternoon, and then some free time, and we would end the day with worship and another small group time.
Robert, who led worship there?
Tom Edwards.
It was Tom. Okay. Tom Edwards, yeah. Always does a great job. And then our camp pastor, who remembers... Come on, Matthew's
got it.
His name was Walt from First Baptist or New Palestine Baptist Church.
Yeah, down in Picayune. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all, camp has been. Let me just give these young people a break here. They've done another camp since this camp, so in all fairness, it's okay that names start slipping. Yeah. So Tom Edwards led worship at our summer camp, and then Walt, oh goodness, somebody Google it on their Googler. I want to give that last name, but anyway, he was our camp pastor, and he you know preached at the worship sessions. And what was the theme of the camp on the shirt? What was the shirt?
Resonate.
Yeah. So y'all were at camp for basically 5 days, mm-hmm. and came back on I think you left on a Sunday? Sunday afternoon.
Walt Barnes,
yep. And came back early Friday. Is that right?
Or was it Thursday?
I think it was Friday.
Yeah, I think it was early Friday morning that y'all got back that
there
day.
There were 3 full days is what I remember.
Yeah. Okay, then it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Am I tripping?
So did y'all see? Yeah, that's right. It's all running together. It's been a long summer, everybody. So what kind of life change did y'all see there? Did y'all see, you know, students encountering God in a way that is unique to camp? Talk to us about that.
I'd say for me, in my group that I led, there was a lot of shy people who ended up at the end of the week sharing their testimonies and then just interacting in the small group when we'd give out questions or just ask them to read a verse. They would just,
you know, their willingness to converse kind of increased through the week. Right. Yeah, as the Lord stripped away maybe the distractions. There was no cell phone. Was there cell phone use out there?
Very little.
Yeah. That's always a feature of camp that you know, people seem to like is, you know, they're detached mm-hmm. from devices, and it just kind of reminds you that you can live without those things, you know. Well, cool. So camp wrapped up, and then y'all came right back. And what was the next work for the summer interns?
Was it super summer?
Yeah.
Super summer about a week later.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you're getting ready for a whole another camp.
Yeah.
And this camp's pretty intense.
Yeah. The good thing about Super Summer is that for us, there isn't just a whole lot of prep work. You know, like the Super mm-hmm. Summer leaders do the prep work, we just go and lead a small group.
Yep.
We're leaders there, but we don't actually have to plan anything.
Right.
So
there's a few little prep, you know, things to. It's more materials than anything, just gathering stuff to take. And but then there's also. A lot of times this falls in the hands of the young lady interns of collecting forms, texting people information. So who was the communications director this summer? Was that you, Anna Grace?
I think it definitely was.
Yeah.
Well, so when we would get FBC reminds from, that was you.
Brother Chris handled the reminds, but if you ever got a text message, it was from me. And sometimes those text messages got a little complicated because I was sending it struggles. To so many people.
Yeah.
But everyone made it to camp, so that's all that matters.
And everybody had all their waivers in place mm-hmm. and all of that. But that's the work of the intern, though. That really relieves when you have those hands to help with that. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it just a learning for y'all that those things are important, those little administrative details. You know, ministry is, we would like to think that ministry is just always about hanging out with the lost and infirmed, and it's just not. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of just labor involved in doing ministry. And I love labor. I love to work. You know, work is something that I enjoy doing. And the more you enjoy it, you can see the benefit of your work. And like y'all were talking about, it's nice to be on this end where you had a, I think Megan, you said that, like mm-hmm. you had a task every
yes,
day.
I had something I had to do every day, and that just, I always loved that.
Yeah, but then you saw it come mm-hmm. to life yeah. at camp. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the same thing when getting ready for Super Summer. Now, tell us about Super Summer. Megan, you went through Super Summer.
I have not, though. Oh, this was my first year.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. All right, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, because you and I talked earlier. What year did you start Super Summer?
Whatever year I was in, I was leaving eighth grade.
Eighth grade summer.
Yeah, summer after eighth grade.
Now, Super Summer, you can't just go to Super Summer. You can't just wake up and say,
that would have been summer of 2019.
I want to go to Super Summer.
Yeah.
You have to do stuff to get to go to Super Summer. And those requirements they're increasing almost yearly now, mm-hmm. what is required of a student to go. So what school did you start in?
I started in Red, the earliest one that you can start in.
And then you just walked through all the schools.
Yeah. Well, I missed, me and Robert both, we were in Red school together. We went all the way through together. We missed Blue school because of COVID. It was 2020. Mm-hmm. And we got a day and a half of the next school, which was Yellow, because there was a big COVID outbreak and they shut it down after a day and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And so now you've led at mm-hmm. Super Summer. So what's it like on this side of, you know, leading Super Summer as opposed to being in one of the schools?
For me, my fourth year in Green School was my favorite year because my TL, my small group leader, was incredible, and my small group was incredible. He would ask one question, and then we would just talk for the rest of the small group. Like, there wasn't any need for guidance. Like, it was just all good conversation. And so that was my favorite thing about that year, was my small group was just awesome. And so being able to be on this side of it and be a team leader and help guide that conversation and try to give my students the same experience is really cool. I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like your leader was intentional, mm-hmm. you know, to guide that and then turn it over to you guys mm-hmm. and trust you with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you followed that model this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you see a response out of that? Yeah.
I had some kids that weren't super talkative. Like my small group that year was just really talkative.
Yeah.
And I had a couple kids that wanted to talk this year, but not everybody did. So it was more challenging to guide the conversation, but there was still a lot of fruit in my small group.
Well, and the importance of that, you know, why do we want to encourage, you know, conversation? We live in an age where people, you know, live on phones with their thumbs and you know, it's just important to be able to articulate the gospel,
yeah.
you know, to say it with your mouth, that you weren't born with a phone, you were born with a voice, you know, and so to promote conversation and to ease young people into, hey, this is it's safe to talk about your, it's okay to talk about your faith. Mm-hmm. It's okay to talk about the Word of God, you know. So Super Summer, you have basically a year's worth of work that you have to do to qualify to go. And, you know, it has to do with sharing your faith, giving a public testimony, memorizing and reciting scripture, participating in the activities of your student ministry in your church. And so Super Summer is a really awesome benefit to the church. You know, so y'all were all leaders there mm-hmm. and got to experience that. Yep. Now, who was the camp pastor at Super Summer this year?
His name was Eric Reed from Journey Church in Nashville.
Y'all might remember that name. We had their conference here this year in February. Oh, goodness, what was the name of that? I'll tag it.
Engaging Truth.
Yes, Engaging Truth conference we hosted in our sanctuary. Eric Reed and his pastoral team came and led our students. Journey Worship, their worship team came and led those sessions. It was a fantastic weekend. We heard from Eric. We heard from their student pastor, their children's pastor. So Eric was the camp pastor. And was Journey Worship there leading? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got some really good friends now from Tennessee that that come down to Mississippi. Well, all right, so after Super Summer, I imagine when y'all get back from Super Summer, there's a lot of cleanup going on. Is that what y'all been up to the past couple weeks?
Yeah.
They're all nodding their head. Yeah. Yeah. Organizing, putting back, cleaning, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Loving Lincoln's in there.
Yeah, oh, don't forget about that. Yeah,
let's talk about it.
There's a lot to talk about Loving Lincoln.
All right, let's talk about Loving Lincoln. Now, this is, I mean, this really just happened, and y'all heard a brief testimony about Loving Lincoln in our worship service on July the 27th. Anna Grace, I feel like you might be the most, you know, involved in that over the its entire time. But this is the third year of of Loving Lincoln. And Loving Lincoln, Loving Lincoln was started by students.
Yeah. Several years ago, my senior year, Landon Smith and Jeremiah Layton started it, and it's just continued, and it's grown every year. So this year, I think we had about 70 to 80 students serving in the community, which is so awesome.
I heard Jeremiah say this in passing, and he said, we don't want people who are participating in Loving Lincoln to think that they're doing community service. He said, we want them to think of it as they're living out their faith. And I thought that was so wise, you know, because it could be interpreted as that, you know. Oh, we just want to do something good for our community. And we do. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to. But as you're trying to make disciples, if you can just tweak the thinking a little bit in the life of a believer who's given their time, like, no, you're actively living out your faith. You know, when you go into this person's home and yard or whatever kind of work, you're just living out your faith. You know, and yes, you're helping that person. So were all involved in Loving Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And what was y'all's role, Robert, in Loving Lincoln? Getting people where they needed to go?
So our role, the first thing we did, I'd say, was we went to go get a lot of waters because of the heat.
Yeah.
And so I'd say in total, we only got 10 cases of waters, but in total, there's probably about 30 to 40 cases of water over this 3-day trek.
Yeah.
And so we would kind of make a little bit of a schedule, I'd say. And then Landon and Jeremiah would kind of just tell us what to do, yeah. Basically. We would just listen to what they said. And then they made the groups, and then they would tell us how we need to approach each little site that we went to, because we would all have different locations every day. And so my first day, we were painting the doll's house. And then what's really great is that remind me of their names.
Mr. Johnny and Stephanie.
They had three girls that came out and shared their testimony with us, and it was just really great for my group to hear that, because, you know, maybe some of them are still battling some type of thing, and so for them to hear three people overcoming their battle and coming to Christ, which is really awesome.
Yeah. And so, Anna Grace, you were also kind of water delivery.
Yeah, we kind of led a team, so led our small group team to different locations each day, doing whatever we were kind of assigned for the day, so it might be yard work, might be painting the doll's house, might be working with the Baptist Children's Village. So just different things within the community. And like you said, just making sure that it was about sharing your faith, which is their whole goal. So they also sent out an evangelism team, which Matthew got to serve on, and that was really cool to hear the stories that came from that, just intentionally going out into the community and not going to Walmart to shop, but going to Walmart to share the gospel and to pray for people that you ran into. So tons of different things happening, but such an impactful weekend that we're so glad to have been a part of.
Awesome. Megan, what was your Love and Lincoln experience?
I was over group four. Me and Matthew were on the same team. And what was our name?
The Lord's Lincoln Logs.
The Lord's Loving Lincoln Logs. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. Say that closer to the mic.
The Lord's Loving Lincoln Logs. I don't know where logs came from.
We truly had the best nickname.
We did.
Yes. Well, so far, it's the only one I've heard.
Trust me. Yeah, just trust.
If that's the best, I don't know that I want to hear the other. Yeah. So I'm interested in something that Anna Grace said, that y'all's team was directly involved in some direct evangelism.
Matthew was.
So it was, we actually asked which students were interested in this, mm-hmm. and we separated them and made a separate evangelism team. So sure. I only did it for one day, and then Deebs and Bill Solnes took it over the next day. But that day I separated from group four. Megan led group four, and they did awesome work that day. And I took four guys just around the community, just sharing the gospel with whoever we came across.
Yeah.
That was the first Love and Lincoln evangelism team. And then the next day they did it, and they did a whole lot better job than we did. Mm. They got kicked out of Walmart. They did so good.
Man, they had to call security.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, somebody didn't like their message and told
persecution
management.
Yeah. At persecution. The Wally World.
Yeah.
So, tell me about a conversation that you had. Were y'all out in just knocking on doors and on streets? Is that how y'all approached it?
My team went to Wild Fox coffee shop in the morning because we thought there'd be people there, you know, because it's a coffee shop, it's morning. And then we went to Sullivan's and then to Walmart. And then around lunchtime, we got a call from one of the yard work teams that was like, "We need help. This is one of the worst yards we've ever seen." So a lot of teams gathered together at that house to help out there. But we had mild success come around. We didn't have any gospel conversations that resulted in salvation, but we were able to pray for a lot of people that said they were believers. We came across a girl who clearly had some struggles in her life, and we just told her that, you know, God loved her and that he has a plan in her life, and that even through the things that she's gone through, you know, that she has a Savior, that if she has a personal faith in Jesus Christ, or if she would commit to a faith in Jesus, that she would have an ever-present help in her trouble. And so that was cool to... She didn't want to have anything to do with our message, but we told her anyway. And that's kind of how... That's kind of what we faced a lot of the day was either people who said they were believers or people who didn't want to hear it. But
Yeah, it rejection is just comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to experience that, go through the emotions of it, you know, and learn from it, that that's just... It's sharing the gospel. Y'all could go listen to episode five, where Jeremiah Layton was talking about his experience in South Asia, and he knows that he said they recorded that they had 350 gospel conversations over a month. One salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can evaluate that in a lot of different ways. You know, you can take it personally, you know, or even maybe I should have done a better job. But they're not rejecting you. You know, they're rejecting the gospel, and it's wrong-centered worship. You know, they love what they're worshiping, and they don't want to give it up. And that's hard to digest sometimes, Matthew. Yeah. Where you know that you're worshiping the right thing, the one true living God who can save and change. And here they are chasing idols, you know. Well, loving Lincoln and the traction that it's, you know, made, and now it's 3 years. We would expect it to even grow more next year, you know.
We had a guy from our church. He's from, he lives in Summit. His Jonathan Wells. And he said that he would like to start a little bit of a Loving Lincoln up there. What do you call it?
Servant Summit.
Servant Summit. And so that was really awesome for me to hear that. And so for him to start a little movement down there.
Jonathan Wells has a gift of evangelism, unlike any young person I've ever seen. We took him on a mission adventure down to New Orleans and sharing faith, you know, in some hard places. That young man never flinched. We had to pull him away, you know, like, I think they're shutting New Orleans down. We got to go, you know. And he's like, no, I've got one more person I'm going to talk to. And we would just wait. And just an amazing gift. He's it's neat to see how the Lord's blessed him. All right, so after Loving Lincoln, then we're kind of wrapping up for, you know, debriefing, getting everything back organized, right?
Yeah.
And so y'all's official, you're done, is at the time of this recording, is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're recording today, July, what's today, the 30th? 31st. And so y'all's last day is tomorrow, and then y'all venture off. Yep. Now, Matthew, you'll head back to Oxford for a little brief season.
Yeah, about a week, and then I go back to school.
Yeah, back in school. Yep. And then when do you report, Megan, to Tupelo?
I have orientation the 14th, so I'll probably move up there the day before.
Well, you live on campus up there?
I got an apartment.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Yeah, there's some great churches in Tupelo. Yes, yeah,
so
you'll,
I'm excited.
Yeah, you'll have a good time up there. What about you, Anna Grace?
I'll also go back in about a week.
Yeah, so you got a little week downtime. Yeah. Now, Bram moves in on the 14th of August. What about you?
I'm going up real early on the 7th.
Okay.
So a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, so you got a little week break.
So I'm going to try to go up there early, adventure to different churches to see which one I like and want to get connected into.
These college towns, you know, they've got a lot of options. And I encourage Bram, it's like, you know, don't spend a whole year shopping. You know, you just get after it. Mm-hmm. Find some place where you can serve and dive in. And if you're looking for perfection up there, you're never going to find it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some great churches. Well, hey, I think, does anybody have any final thoughts, any parting words, you know, any wisdom, Mr. Adcock? You know, you said that we might get a Yogi Berra quote or something in there.
Well, I will quote my father, Todd Adcock, here.
Mr. Todd Adcock, please.
Man who lives in a glass house should not throw stones. That's his famous quote. Mm. And so that's really just carried upon me.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about what that meant?
You know, I have not really given it too much thought. Yeah.
I think it means what it says. Like, if you live in a glass house, you probably shouldn't throw stones.
No second meaning.
Yeah, no, there's no, yeah, I mean, it's face value.
That's right, straight up.
Yeah. Don't throw rocks in your house if it's made of glass.
Yeah, I do want to say real quick that FBC Brookhaven is blessed to have Chris as their student pastor. Chris is the best. He is working under him this summer has been really cool just to see the way he does things and how much he trusts God with everything that's going to happen, how much he trusts God with summer camp and super summer. So a lot of the students that we've seen come through the youth group and develop into leaders, a lot of that can be put into what God has done through Chris. So Chris is one of the best youth pastors in the state. So
yeah,
very grateful for him.
He deserves some flowers, you know. First, I'm always aggravated by how chill Chris Layton is. I'm envious, you know. I don't covet. I'm just saying he's hard to rattle, and that steadiness, you can see it through all his ministry.
Yeah.
He's just steady.
And we were throwing a ball yesterday, and I accidentally hit him on the top of the head, and he just kept
steady.
Walking.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. One of the things that having worked, you know, in churches for 30 years and been a I really should even say I was a student pastor. I helped students one time, you know, it was like that. But the student ministry can mean two things. Okay? It can be a ministry to students, or it can be a ministry of students. And Chris has done a fantastic job of making the students understand we minister. Mm-hmm. And that shows up in something like Love and Lincoln. Yeah. Love and Lincoln did not exist pre-Layton's in Brookhaven. And over time, he's just invested. No, y'all are supposed to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
We want y'all to come here and be charged and be, you know, play games. And all, but no, we have stuff that we can do. Is that fair, Megan? Do you see that?
No, for sure. This whole summer has just really been eye-opening just to how blessed we are with our student ministry and our youth pastor. And just FBC Brookhaven in general is just comes to show that organization is just very important, because that's how things get done. And that's how we make a difference in Brookhaven.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing to be a part of that.
There's a lot of thinking, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of prayer, and a lot of behind the scenes things that have to happen, you know. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Matthew. Brother Chris, you getting some shout outs here. Getting some shout outs. Hey, and it's going public, so yeah. Anything else? Well, guys, let me thank y'all for coming today, and I know this was your day off. But hopefully it gave our listener a little more insight into what y'all did this summer and a little bit about who you are. And know this, that you always have a friend at First Baptist Brookhaven. You always have a home here. And you may leave us, but we don't leave you. And so we're praying for y'all. We are cheering y'all on. Y'all have done a fabulous job. When everything's quiet, that means y'all did a good job, you know. It really does. So, with that, hey, y'all, go back. If you're listening to this one, listen to the other ones. You'll be blessed. And y'all, thanks again for coming.
Thanks for having us.